In the last book of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi, we read about God's displeasure with his people. How could there be a displeasure from God for people whom he has sent away into captivity and now brought back and restored to their place in the land of Israel, having experienced being paid back double for their sins in Babylon? Now that they've been brought back and been shown the favor of God, how can it be that God is displeased with them again? God says in Malachi chapter 1 that a father is used to receiving honor from his son, that a master is used to receiving honor from his servant or his slave. And he says, "Where is my honor from my people?" He's giving out an accusation here. He's making a legal charge against them. And the people say, "How have we dishonored you? How is it that we have not given you the honor? How is it that we've despised your name?" And God says in verse 7, through the prophet Malachi, "You've done it by offering polluted food upon my altar." And they say, "What's the evidence of that? What's the evidence of this polluted food?" And he says, "When you offer blind animals in sacrifice, is that not evil? And when you offer those that are lame or sick, is that not evil? Present to that to your governor. Will he accept you or show you favor, says the Lord of hosts? And now entreat the favor of God, that he may be gracious to us. With such a gift from your hand, will he show favor to any of you, says the Lord of hosts?" The problem here was that they weren't bringing their best to God. It wasn't just that they had gone down the checklist and said this could be acceptable to God or this might not be acceptable to God. And surely when God tells us what's acceptable and what's not acceptable in worship, we ought to be paying careful attention and giving God just exactly what he wants. The problem was even deeper. The problem was in their hearts, because they did not want to give God the best that they had. And so God says in verse 10, "Here's what I would like instead. Instead of you bringing blind and lame sacrifices to the altar," he said, "Oh, that there were someone among you who would shut the doors, that you might not kindle fire on my altar in vain. I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, and I will not accept an offering from your hand, because from the rising of the sun to the going down or to the setting, my name will be great among the nations, and in every place incense will be offered to my name and a pure offering. My name will be great among the nations." If I'm going to have a covenant people, they're going to honor me with everything they have. My name will be held up. My name will be magnified. And I will not be a second-rate lord or master in your life. He goes on to say that one of the reasons that they're doing this is that they're wearied with worship. In verse 13, he says, "What a weariness this is what you say, and you snort at it, says the Lord of hosts. And so you bring what has been taken by violence," that is, you steal your offering from somebody else, "or lame or sick, and this you bring as your offerings. Shall I accept this from your hand, says the Lord? Cursed be the cheat who has a male in his flock and vows it, and yet sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name will be feared among the nations." And here's the ultimate point that he's making. How can people who don't believe in God, how can people who don't have God in their lives understand that God is great and noble and good when his people do not treat him like God? when his people do not offer to him what he's prescribed, and when his people do not give entirely of themselves or of their best for him. When his own people believe that worship is weariness and they don't want to have anything to do with it, how can that be an example to anyone out there who doesn't already believe in God? The answer is, it isn't. If his own people don't love him or don't worship him, why would anybody else be convinced that he's great? How we worship and what we give, whether or not we invest ourselves and whether or not we give God what he asks for, says something not only about ourselves and our own spiritual condition, but it says something about who we believe God is and whether he's worth serving at all. And so, if God were to look at us tonight and view us based on the amount of energy we put into practicing our faith, not just inside the walls here, but out in the community, what would he say? Would he turn around and say, I just wish somebody would shut the church doors? Or would he be pleased with what we were doing? It's an answer that we have to give individually, an answer that we have to give collectively. And I pray that we're serving God with all of our hearts. If you'd like encouragement to do that tonight, we stand ready to pray with you, or we stand ready to baptize you into Christ. All you have to do is let us know your desire by coming to the front as we stand and sing to encourage you.